1 Corinthians 13. Follow along as I read. I'll be reading the first 8 and then down to verse 13, and we will launch into our next characteristic of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Shall we pray? Father, be with us tonight as we work our way through. And Lord, may we do it with examining our hearts and how we align to your word, your truth, your way, your will. Oh, Father, help us to love in a way that brings honor and glory to you, that would bring the maximum impact upon those around us in all of our relationship. Lord, may we not, because of the lack of love, cause people to stumble from the way, from the truth, from the gospel, from Jesus Christ. Sometimes we as believers have given the world, the lost, the unregenerate, excuses because of the way we love, or I should say, we lack the love that we should have. You have given us everything we need to be able to love in the way you have asked us and instructed us here. You have given us your word for clarity, to help speak to our mind to understand. You have given us the Holy Spirit that enables us not only to create the desire, but to give it the power to live this out. So Lord, help us to yield to the truth and to the Spirit's work within us. We ask all these things in your name for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight we're going to be doing the second half of verse 6. Which is kind of the flip side of what we have already looked at. It said in verse 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, the second half, but rejoices in the truth. Here we are given the next characteristic that we are to live out in our lives. This is the 11th. Characteristic of love. It rejoices in the truth. The characteristic that we have just studied previously in the first half of the verse was given to us in a negative. It tells us of what we are not to do. The next aspect, the one that we're going to do tonight, turns the negative into a positive. And tells it what we as lovers of people are to do in rejoicing in the truth. When you do a study of the word love in the New Testament, you'll find it had over 370 times recorded in the New Testament alone. The word truth is used 99 times. And so, both of us understand that we are learning about the meaning and true meaning and understanding of love, and we understand what the truth is. We are familiar with both words. But the question tonight before us, do we rejoice in the truth? Do we truly rejoice? Though we are familiar with these concepts, though we are aware of these concepts, but do we delight in the truth? What is the truth that we as Christians are supposed to be getting excited about and delighting in here? Well, when you do a study of those verses that we looked at, that I mentioned to you of how many times the word truth is used, you can boil all of them down to basically four things. What truth is. Truth is number one, often refers to the Word of God. Now we all know that. We kind of were aware of that. It speaks, and in fact, it refers to the Word of God like 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. The Bible, okay? Even Ephesians 1:13 talking about, he uses the idea, you heard the word of truth which brought about your salvation. You not only heard it, but you embraced it. Even James 1:18 says it this way, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. We get saved because of the Word of God, because of the effectual power of the Word of God, obviously, in conjunction with the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. The second way the word truth is used is sometimes the word truth is in reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're aware of that. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Even opening up John's Gospel in chapter 1. It speaks to the fact in verse 14, it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, sometimes it's referred to the Word of God. Context will tell you what it is. Sometimes it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. Context tells you what it is. Number three, sometimes the Bible uses the word truth to refer to the idea of honesty, sincerity, or accuracy, as opposed to something that is false, something that is a lie or deceptive or fabricated. For instance, in Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Be honest, be transparent, be sincere and genuine when you talking to your neighbor, when you talk to people. How about 1 John 1:8? We're familiar with this one. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And it's the opposite of being, you're deceiving yourself, the truth is not in you, versus you're not deceiving yourself and the truth is in you. Okay? Even a couple verses later in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 4, it said this, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you see the juxtaposition here, the contrast between a liar and the one who tells the truth. One who is honest versus one who is deceptive and false. They can feel like they're telling the truth. It doesn't matter. Clearly, John said there, if you claim to know him, but you don't keep the commandments, you are not in the truth. You're not telling the truth. Fourth way the word truth is used, sometimes the Bible uses the word truth to refer to the progress in the truth. Or use it as a synonym for progress in righteousness or holiness. We know that. Here Dwayne Mack said this, quote, it is used as a synonym for living our lives in accordance with God's will, for living and thinking and desiring what is right in the eyes of God. How we can know where in the Bible it teaches that? In 3 John 3-5, it said this, listen carefully. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Okay, well, we're not quite sure what he's saying yet. Then it said, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. Well, what does that mean? Next verse. Beloved, you do faithfully what you do for the brethren and for strangers. So you see here, walking in the truth with walking in such a way in righteousness and holiness, you were being a blessing to the brethren and to strangers that God had instructed. So those are the four ways. Reference to the Word of God, reference to Jesus Christ, reference to telling the truth or not the truth, and in reference to living a godly life and living your life in accordance to the truth, in accordance to the will of God. Even in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, listen carefully, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accord with godliness. So when a person acknowledges, or using John's language, walks in the truth, it brings about holiness. It's in accordance with godliness. Even 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says it this way, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That fourth use of the word truth and how it's used. Obeying the truth through the Spirit, how in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And then we have the flip side. We have those that don't walk in the truth. We're warned not to go there. We are called and commanded and urged and exhorted to walk in the truth and live a life that is consistent with the truth. Verse that warned us is like Romans 2, verse 8. But those who are self-seeking do not obey the truth. They disregard it. I'm not going to align my life to this. Those who are self-seeking, it's all about them. They're the front, they're the center. They're, everything surrounds, everything is about them. They are people who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Galatians 5:7 said it this way, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Here Paul would rebuking them for having a faulty view of sanctification and buying into the legalism of the Judaizers. You ran well from the beginning, but who hindered you? Who hindered you? Who kept you from obeying the truth? Living the life in accordance with the Word of God and according to the power of the Spirit, which is clearly what all Galatians is about. It did take and give a death blow to living a sanctified life according to legalism as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. James chapter 5, verse 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back. So you can see here that if somebody, when you wander away from the truth, you're disobeying it, you're disregarding it, you're not following the way. You're not following the path of righteousness, godliness, and holiness. This is the idea of how that word is being used. And I'll explain to you by the key word that I think that is in this verse. Look at again verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. What does rejoicing in the truth mean? What does it mean? To rejoice in the truth means that truth is what animates the person. The truth is what gets them really excited and what brings pleasure to them to is to see the truth of God put into practice in the form of righteous living. The word rejoicing here is not the same word in the beginning of the verse, rejoice. Two different words in the Greek. Very important distinction we need to make out. I almost missed that because I made an assumption they were, and something prompted me to better check it out, and sure enough, it was two different words. The first one means to take delight or joy in something. In other words, you should never be excited or take pleasure in joy or delight in iniquity or when evil or wrongdoing is done. You should never get excited about that. So the idea here is to take delight in it. The second word is different. It is the word that means to rejoice with, or to take part in another's joy. In other words, to go beyond simply within yourself, be excited, but to step out and rejoice and congratulate them in the process of following the truth, walking in the truth, living the truth. Clearly we see this in Luke chapter 1. That word, the second word, rejoicing, is only used 7 times in the New Testament. One of them, the first time it's mentioned, is in Luke 1:58. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Those 3 words summarize that one Greek word. Rejoiced with her. It wasn't, hey, I was happy inside. It's like, yes, I'm excited with you. As opposed to simply taking delight within myself. That is the distinction of the word that we need to be aware of. Luke 15, we know this one. This is the parable of the lost coin. The woman who lost her coin. In Luke 15, verse 6, and when he comes home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found... I'm sorry, this was the sheep. For I have found my sheep which was lost. Notice, it didn't say rejoice. It said rejoice with me. With me. I found the lost sheep. The next one talked about the woman who found the missing coin. Verse 9 of the same chapter. And when she had found it, she called her friend and neighbor together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Rejoice with me. Let's celebrate together. It's not enough to simply be happy for them. It is to really get engaged and out of your shell to rejoice with them. This is what it means to rejoice in the truth. Truth, using it in the fourth sense of living a life, obviously we're supposed to love and rejoice in God's word and rejoice and love the Lord Jesus Christ and love the truth as opposed to error and falsehood and lying and deception. But when you're rejoicing with somebody, that has to presuppose something that they're doing that needs and that warrants encouragement and congratulation. That's the idea here. Another time it was used in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, which is the previous chapter of our chapter here in 1 Corinthians 13. It says this: if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So, boy, there's some lessons there for us tonight. When somebody is hurting, we suffer with them. We bear the burden with them. We pray for them. We long for them. Wish for them to recover, whatever, right? But if one is honored, it's not enough to just sit back and say, well, I'm happy for them. But to get alongside and rejoice with them. And it said all the members are to do this, not the select few who have the gift of patting people on the back, which there is no gift to that. We're all commanded to do that. When it is worthy, when it is right, when it's according to the truth, progress is being made, we are to congratulate them. We are to glory and rejoice in that. That means come alongside and say, hey, I see you're doing good. I just want you to know it makes my heart rejoice. Keep up the good work. People who have done that in our lives, have that not been important? A big step that somebody even recognized it. One thing to recognize them when they're having a hard time and I'm praying for you. It's another thing to come alongside to, hey, I see progress you're making. Good for you. Keep up the good work. This is important. This is the kind of love, and this is what this phrase here is referencing. Especially when we need to realize when another one is honored. Now, I didn't want to go into exposition of that, because someday I'm going to do 1 Corinthians, and we'll break it down in details there. But it's enough to say that when one is honored, one is lifted up, all members should rejoice with that member. To rejoice in the truth is to rejoice and be glad with them as they walk in the truth. It's not a just do it mentality, but come alongside and rejoice with them. Love does not expect and assume, but congratulates them in their progress in the truth. Not simply knowledge in the head, but as it manifests itself in their lives. That's why we needed to break down the various ways the word truth was used. And when you zero in on the word rejoicing and realizing that you are to take joy and congratulation and be happy with the person, that takes on a different avenue. We are to have joy with them in their progress and walking according to the will of God or in growing in holiness. Now, John MacArthur thought he had a really good comment here as he put these two concepts together from verse 6. He put them together and said this, quote, "Love does not focus on the wronged of others. It does not parade their fault for the entire world to see. Love does not disregard falsehood and unrighteousness, but as much as it possible, it focuses on true and the right. It looks for the good, hopes for the good, and emphasizes the good. It rejoices with those who teach and live the truth. Love appreciates the triumph of ordinary folk. Our children are built up and strengthened when we encourage them in their accomplishment and in their obedience. Love doesn't rejoice in falsehood or wrong, but its primary business is to build up, not tear down, to strengthen, not weaken. How often I have seen over the years a parent who trying to help their children get prepared for life or the Christian life, and all they are is negative and always bringing out the negative, 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 and never taking time to recognize when one little ounce of progress is being made to recognize that. That love does not forget that element. Love will come alongside and recognize genuine, sincere, walking in the truth. Man, instead of saying, well, it's about time you got with the program. That's what I mean when you have the expectation and presumption and assume, well, you should have been doing it all along, making your bed. Well, take delight that they did it once. And then really take delight in twice, then a week, you know, but encourage them. But if you keep beating them down, same way within the Christian journey and the Christian walk and discipleship, you keep beating people and always bringing out what they don't do, they're going to come away saying, what difference did it make? And love doesn't do that. Love brings the truth, like he said in that quote, it doesn't disregard falsehood and unrighteousness, doesn't ignore it. But it does take time to recognize and have eyes to see when progress is being made to say, hey, I'm excited. This is good. And we need to recognize these things. So, beloved, as we continue through this, let's remember what we have learned. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful, not arrogant or proud, not discourteous, does not seek his own, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs suffered, does not rejoice or delight in unrighteousness or wrongdoing. And tonight we learn that love rejoices in the truth. Beloved, this is not natural. We can't do this apart from the Spirit of God within us. Only true believers with the permanent dwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit can do this. This kind of level and degree of real, genuine love that focuses in all of the elements and components of love that we have learned. We are not born with the capacity to love with this kind of love. Instead, as one commentator would say, this is a supernatural love. That's why in Romans 5:5 it says that hope does not disappoint because the love of God had been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Who would given to us, here lie the element of the permanent dwelling. We only can love like this because all true believers have the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit enabling them to love this way. One of the verses I said earlier with 1 Peter 1:22, it said this, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Here lied what Paul was attacking them in the churches in the Galatian region. You're trying to live the sanctified life, the Christian walk in the arms of the flesh. Simply will it. It doesn't work that way. If it did, then you got to ask yourself this. Why did he give you the Holy Spirit? He gave it to you because you can do it in the flesh. You need his infusion in creating the desire and the will to do it and the enablement to do it, Philippians 2:13. Then you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. In Galatians 5:22 said this, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and all of God's people said, love. Amen? Love. That's the first thing in the lineup. And we're breaking that four-letter word down into how Paul expanded on it in 1 Corinthians 13. And we dealt with the 11th one. May we truly come alongside and rejoice with those, with others, who are making progress in the way of truth, in the walk in the truth, and in the will of God. Amen? Father, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that makes it so clear our duty. And Lord, I know my brothers and sisters, we all desire and delight to do what pleases you and to bring the most honor and glory to you. And Lord, we so often miserably fail. And we thank you for your faithfulness to stay with us and to work with us and pick us back up and carry us on. Lord, help us to realize we cannot do this in the flesh. We must do it in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. And if we're self-seeking, we're not walking in the Spirit. If we are living a life that wanders away from the truth, though we read it, we don't obey it. No difference. Oh Lord, may we recognize progress in our midst at the body. May we recognize it in our homes. Oh Lord, may you be honored and glorified. In Christ's name, amen.